This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. This is a special edition. I am your host, Tim Murray. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Give us 5 stars as we continue our summer previews. And this week's been a fun week on VSiN Primetime as we've had a lot of coaches from the Mountain West stop by our studio. And we're going to have those interviews for you, including Jay Sauvel of Wyoming. We will also have Spencer Danielson of Boise State, Barry Odom of UNLV, Timmy Chang of Hawaii, Coach Ken Niumatalolo of San Jose State, and Jay Norvell of Colorado State for you on the podcast, as well as some more insight into Boise State with BJ Raines. Every one of those stopped by VSiN Primetime. Speaking of VSiN Primetime, my co-host, which you can hear me and Jonathan Von Tobel each and every weeknight from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, is going to be doing the preview for our VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which will come out later this summer, previewing the Mountain West. So JVT, let's jump into it. A very interesting conference. You know, Boise State is the overwhelming favorite. We'll start with them. Should they be around a plus 135 favorite? Is that an accurate price based off of what you've seen and the talent that they have on this roster?
Yeah, like I think you can quibble with, you know, 10, 20 cents, whatever it is, depending on how you rate them. But for me, they are the clear-cut favorite. When you return pretty much everybody on defense, your offense is extremely talented with Ashton Jeanty, one of the best players in the country, conference. Last year, 1,900 total scrimmage yards, nearly 20 touchdowns, and you might have a former five-star quarterback in USC transfer, Malachi Nelson, start. We've talked about this. Maddox Madsen might be starting, but either way, your quarterback position is at a pretty good spot. And you have a conference schedule that really works in your favor. Your toughest trips are going to be UNLV and Wyoming, but the home game set up pretty well with a lot of rebuilding programs. I think that this team deserves to be favored, and not only do they deserve to be favored, Tim, as we've talked about, they are a potential playoff team if things go right for them and the picture around them. So I don't really have any quibbles with Boise State given where they're priced.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Boise State, and we talked to BJ Raines, you'll hear that interview coming up shortly, is there's a lot of pressure on this Boise State team, sure, especially when you've got a first-time head coach in Spencer Danielson. But Dirk Cutter coming back as their offensive coordinator, I think, is a massive victory for Boise State. You might recall just a couple years ago, this was an offense that was very much sputtering. Dirk Cutter comes in, Taylen Green kind of takes off in 2022. They make a run to the Mountain West Championship where they ultimately lost to the man, the myth, the legend, Jake Haener. Boise State, by the way, this is an interesting market at DraftKings to make the conference championship game. Boise State minus 165 to appear, not win, but appear in the conference championship game. Fresno State's minus 120, and this is a team that I think we haven't discussed a ton. We had Jeff Tedford on the show last year. He's not going to join us this year. Look, a veteran coach, very, very good coach, has dealt with some, you know, health issues, obviously, in the past. They bring back Mikey Keene, who was voted here at Mountain West Media Days as first-team all-conference, preseason, that is. What do you make of this Fresno State team? Huge opportunity week one. They go on the road to Michigan. They do not play Boise State, but they have a road trip to UNLV, a road trip to Air Force. Is Fresno State the rightful number two team in your opinion?
I don't think so, only because I think UNLV is much closer to their level than the market would say that they are, right? Fresno State's around 3-1. UNLV is sitting at 6-1. But I understand why you would put them where they're at. And you look at the media poll, by the way, right? We saw that. They got the first amount of, say, first-place votes, UNLV and Fresno State. So I'm more in line with our media brethren who think that UNLV and Fresno State have an equal shot at winning this thing. So that would be my issue. But you look at the team, there's a bunch of stuff you like. First off, you know, Matt Humans asked me this the other day on Follow the Money when I went on, which was, how would you rank the quarterbacks in the Mountain West at this point? I think you have to give it to Mikey Keene, who is the best quarterback right now, just given the fact he's coming back, 11 starts, completed 67% of his passes, threw 23 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. For me, you know me, one of my favorite statistics, a turnover-worthy play rate of just 2.4%, so he doesn't put the ball in danger. And you've got a bunch of other pieces around him coming back from a 9-win team on this offense, specifically an offensive line that returns mostly intact, loses just one starter, and you've got a really good, probably one of the best interior linemen along this group. So I understand everything where you're at. But I think for me, it's the pricing and the fact that, Tim, while Tedford has done a great job with this team overall, if you're nitpicking, which you should with some of the teams at the top, You have some really clear questions as to what you're doing with this defense. You only have five guys coming back. A lot of the big losses are along the interior for this team. We are talking about Johnny Hudson, Isaiah Johnson, two double-digit starters along the defensive line, Lavelle Bailey, who was a second-team Mountain West linebacker, their nickelback from last year, who was also a second-team Mountain West player. And in the secondary, too, they had a first-team Mountain West guy, Carlton Johnson, who is a piece that is not going to be there anymore. So that, I think, to me, when you look at those losses defensively and the uprising of what UNLV is, that would be my issue, is I do think they're more on the level with a team like UNLV to win this thing.
So the preseason poll that JVT alluded to, Boise State received 38 of a possible 46 first-place votes. UNLV did edge out Fresno State for number two, Fresno State being three. So let's get to UNLV, certainly a team that you know very, very well, living here, working for that UNLV program a bit. This is going to be year two for Barry Odom. You'll hear from Barry Odom, the head coach of UNLV, later on in the podcast. We'll start at the quarterback position, because I think a lot of people, if you haven't been covering or following UNLV football, you would say, man, Jordan Maiva leaves. Yep. That's a huge, huge downgrade. I think you're of the mindset, and I would agree, if they hit gold on one of these two FCS transfers, it might not be that big of a downgrade.
No, not at all. Well, that's the interesting part about the two of the three teams at the top, right? UNLV and Boise State, yep, are two teams that got first place votes. Obviously, Boise State's at the top. They're both looking at maybe a new starter, a quarterback, heading into this. And for UNLV, it's a completely different room, because for those who remember, Doug Brumfield also medically retired, and he was their starter at the beginning of last year and was the starter throughout the year prior. So I think when you look at this, Matthew Sluka and Haj Malik Williams out of Holy Cross and Campbell, respectively, on the surface, you would say, okay, I don't like that. But Brendan Marion, their offensive coordinator, has a unique offense with the go-go offense. He had a great hand in developing Jaden Maiva to the point where he was a very good quarterback for them and transferred to Georgia and then subsequently yeah, USC. So I think the offense is going to be in really good shape. And then you just look at the pieces around it. Three starters coming back along the offensive line. You have a third-team All-American, a wide receiver in Ricky White. Jacob DeJesus, you should not forget, an All-American special teams player who is perfect for this offense as well. I think they're going to be very good. And what I really like is you added size along the interior of your defensive line. So this team that's going to usually play with about three defensive linemen, all these guys are hitting about 300 pounds. You have the best linebacker potentially in the conference, and Jackson Woodard coming back in the middle, and a secondary that's got some returning pieces. So I think when you look at overall what this team can potentially be, I agree with the media again. I think they have a much better shot. And remember, too, Tim, last year, they're one of the best cover teams in the country.
Yep.
They really were undervalued, and I think there's a little bit of that coming back here. Of all of these teams, I thought there were two future bets to make in this conference. UNLV is one of the two at 6-1.
Win total, sitting at seven and a half. And you get Boise State at home, UNLV does. You get Fresno State at home. Your road trips, and this is something I always like to look at here. Yep. Your road trips are Utah State, and their coach just got fired, so things are falling apart, it seems, up there at Utah State. A road trip to Hawaii, which is never easy. However, it's a bye week heading into Hawaii, so I think that's beneficial. And then, you know, we talked to Coach Kenny Amatololo, new head coach of San Jose State. I mean, that might be the most turnover in the entire conference. So you're playing Boise and Fresno State, the top two teams outside of yourself. However, you get both of them at home.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you look at the way the schedule breaks down, as you mentioned, it's good for you. Also, I'm very interested to see a couple of those road trips, specifically November 23rd, San Jose State. Last two matchups for UNLV against San Jose State have not gone particularly well. I was actually on the road trip 2 years ago where they went out on a Friday night, got absolutely smoked, and they lost Doug Brumfield to injury. Then, of course, we know what happens last year, too. They're going to be, if they can, they're going to be willing to pour it on, I think, at San Jose State. And I think they're going to be able to do that. So you have a favorable schedule for this team, too, and I think that's why I come back to, look, as you mentioned, I've been a little bit behind the scenes. I've been around the program. I've seen the transition from Marcus Arroyo to Barry Odom, and Odom is just doing things a lot differently. And this looks like a well-oiled machine in terms of what he's doing, how he's having his staff prepare these guys, what his mission is. And you also look, too, the transfers they're bringing in for a defense that's missing pieces. You know, you've got Tony Grimes coming in from UNC, Jalen Catalan coming in from Arkansas, same thing with Malik Chavis and Ladarius Bishop. They're getting some Power 5 guys in here along this defense. I think this is going to be a much improved unit as you come into this year.
Air Force is a team that year after year, you know they're going to be consistent. You know, you go back to 2019, 11 wins, 10 wins in 21, 10 wins in 22. Last year, they got as high as number 17 in the polls before absolutely falling apart down the stretch. They lost to Army as a 17-point favorite, lost on the road at Hawaii as a 19-point favorite, lost to UNLV, and then closed out their regular season with a loss to Boise State. They did rebound and win their bowl bowl game against James Madison, but it's hard at times to fully handicap a service academy because they don't do transfers. However, they've got so many players on their roster, JVT, that you just don't know who's ready. You know, when I did work for Navy, they used to run a full other practice at the same time. So Troy Calhoun's been there forever. This is his 18th season. What do we expect from Air Force? They open up conference play against San Jose State. They have to go up to Laramie, which is always a tricky spot to win. They do not have to play Boise State. They get Fresno State at home. Air Force is a team that I have a hard time kind of figuring out this year because they lost a ton of production, but year after year, they just kind of figure out how to fill those holes.
Yeah, and so I agree with you. I think it's hard to judge a team like this. And the market seems to have some faith. A lot of people do have to seem to have some faith that this team's just going to be perfectly fine. And I understand because Calhoun's track record. I also think we should mention, Tim, part of the reason why there is a belief that this team is going to be a difficult challenge or whatever it is, and maybe competing for a Mountain West title, is their schedule does work out nicely. Two of the top three teams in terms of the odds to win the conference, they will not play them. They do get to play Fresno State at home. Easy. We'll cut road trips against New Mexico and San Diego State, Nevada. Like, you should be able to win those games. So Air Force is going to be pretty fascinating. But I do think that there is, at some point, you could be difficult because of your system, but you miss so much that I think there is going to be some step back here. And you mentioned the end of the year. We saw this team kind of slip up as it went along, as that season went along last year. So I think when you look at Air Force overall, I believe that there is going to be a step back. They'll be their usual competitive selves, but I don't have them inside of the tight group of teams that are going to be able to win this conference by season's end.
So you mentioned one of the futures bets that interests you is UNLV at the price of around plus 600, I believe, at DraftKings. For those able to access DraftKings, UNLV's plus 650. And then you get down to a next tier that includes Air Force. It also includes Colorado State and Wyoming. And I want to start with Wyoming because this is a team that you've been high on. You're going to hear from Jay Sawvell, their first-year head coach, coming in. But it's not a situation where he's walking into a spot that he doesn't know. He's been there for a handful of years. And, you know, this is a program that, once again, you mentioned schedule. They get to host Air Force. They get to host Boise State. They do not have to play Fresno State or UNLV. Win total sits at 6.5. They're 12-1 to win the conference. And this is an interesting angle, too. Plus 380 at DraftKings to make the Mountain West championship game. So what intrigues you about this Wyoming team?
I mean, I think it's everything. I think you start on offense for a team that, and as you mentioned, we talked to Jay Sawvell, and he kind of mentioned that he wanted to be a little bit more balanced. But we know that Wyoming in years past has been built on this running game. Tim, they returned all three of their top rushers from last season. They've got a massive quarterback in Evan Svoboda who can add to that rushing attack at 6'4", 250 pounds or whatever it is. An offensive line that returns a whole bunch of pieces along the offensive line too. Like, this is going to be a group that I think is going to be very potent. And the fact that you retain Sawvell, by the way, the offensive line, four starters back. So you have four starters back along the offensive line, your top three rushers. Your offense should be able to run the ball. And then when you retain Sawvell, the guy was running your defense, and you have one of the best, if not the best, defensive lines in the conference coming back here too, and a very strong home field advantage. I think that when you look at Wyoming, a team that last year honestly didn't have that many expectations, ended up going 9-4, were very, very solid, 7-5-1 against the spread. You look at their returning production. You look at their schedule, as you mentioned, avoiding those road trips. Your toughest road trip in conference play is Colorado State. It's a team that I think is going to be, at the end, in position to really compete for this. And that spot, November 23rd against Boise State, it's going to be a fascinating game for the Broncos to go out on the road like that and compete against them, because you don't want to see them slip up because they're sitting there looking really nice. And then you all of a sudden go up to Laramie and you're like, oh, crap. Like, yeah, this team's got something for us. It's cold, they're running the ball, and they're really good on defense.
Jay Sawvell will answer the question why Wyoming is so good at home when you hear that interview later here on the podcast. Last year, 7-0 straight up, including that win over Texas Tech, which was just a bonkers game. And then they, I believe, returned a blocked extra point for a score against Appalachian State. So it was a wild season. A team that I played their win total over last year was Colorado State. We were able to get to the window, but I thought we would get to the window a little more comfortably. They went 5-7 a year ago. You'll hear from Jay Norvell later on in the podcast. This is a team that win total sitting at 6. You've got a week 3 game that I know we'll talk about. They open up on the road at Texas. Braden Fowler Nicolosi comes back. There's some excitement around him. You bring back Torrey Horton, who's an absolute superstar at wide receiver, probably the second best player in the conference behind Ashton Gentry from a skill set standpoint. What do you think about this Colorado State team? Win total sitting at 6, heading into Jay Norvell's third year. And by the way, a very important year. I mean, this is a school that poached him away from Nevada, had a lot of success. It was a full-on rebuild. And now, year 3, they've got a lot of components in place here. They're expecting to get to their first bowl and maybe then some. They haven't been to a bowl game in 7 years.
Yeah, I think that's a reality. For me, when I look at all these teams that could potentially compete for the Mountain West, the thing that I ultimately start with why I hold back on Colorado State is Braden Fowler Nicolosi. When you look at some of his numbers, he committed to turnover-worthy play on 5% of his pass attempts. That's a lot. That's a very high rate, 26 total, through 16 interceptions. He had 5 games in which he had a sub-60% completion. There was a lot of, I think, troubling signs behind Fowler Nicolosi. And, Tim, I think the problem, too, is you look at the quarterback depth chart for Colorado State, there's not that much that you at least know behind him. So, if he does not play well, what ends up happening? You mentioned the return of Holton. The other question, though, is third-team Mount West wide receiver Justice Ross Simmons is gone. You look at first-team Mount West tight end Dalen Hoker, gone.
He's a beast, by the way.
Yeah, and so those two guys are gone. Your running back room, you know, actually Norvell kind of mentioned this. You know, it's talented, but it's young. Justin Marshall and Damian Henderson are both redshirt freshmen. So while you have a good offensive line and you've got a quarterback that's coming back, if he ends up just turning the ball over a bunch and your defense doesn't improve, which was statistically one of the worst Colorado State defenses we've seen in a while, and they lose a lot too when you're talking about along the defensive line an All-American and Mountain West defensive player of the year, a second team Mountain West defensive tackle. That's why my questions kind of reside with this team. And you also have to talk about, you know, the tail end of that schedule. You come off a bye, but you get a home game against Wyoming. You got to go to Fresno State. I think that that's going to be a difficult path to kind of maneuver. And you have to go to Air Force, too, which is always going to be tricky. So I think ultimately that's why I haven't really gotten in on them winning the Mountain West. I think they could, but if Fowler Nicolosi doesn't take a step forward, I think that's where your real trouble begins.
So the two positions you would take right now, you would take UNLV, yep, and you would take Wyoming. Wyoming outright, or would you look at them in that to make the conference championship market?
I mean, I think you'd play both, to be quite honest with you. That is a team that even against Boise State, look, Boise State's very good, but I think they could still beat Boise State. There's not... I think Boise State deserves to be favored. I understand all of that, but this is not some head and shoulders better than like roll through the Mountain West Conference. UNLV, Wyoming, these teams can beat Boise State.
And I think, too, for me, Boise State, they're the most talented team. They're the rightful favorite. Should they win the conference? Yes. Are they the best team probably pound for pound in the group of five? Yes. You got a first-year head coach. Mm-hmm. And I know I keep coming back to that, but it's just something. And, you know, you're going to hear from BJ Raines here momentarily. There's a lot of pressure. This, in his 12 years covering Boise State, this is the most expectations they've ever had as a program. As with a first-year head coach and a quarterback, Malachi Nelson, that I guess he could be good, but we don't know. Real quick,
add to that point, though, too, remember, in the middle of the offseason, I know I made fun of Mike Sanford a little bit about this, and this isn't like a big deal, but it shows kind of the novice nature of being a first-time head coach. Remember the whole thing with NIL, where he kind of stepped into it a little bit, and he was like, you know, you got to come here, you got to earn it, and there was kind of some mix-up, they had to walk it back a little. So I do think it's interesting, to your point, where there are nuances to this job. There's also the timeouts in the game management, where being a first-time head coach, there are some bumps along the road, and that just showed that that was kind of one of them. So you hope it doesn't rear its head in terms of gameplay.
I know Paul Stone has talked to you about this. There are not a lot of game of the year lines out for Mountain West teams, obviously, but there is one for week 3, and I want to walk folks through this one. So Colorado is visiting Colorado State. Colorado State has not hosted Colorado since 1996. Now, this game had more often than not been played at the Broncos Stadium, but they've got a new brand new stadium. You're going to hear Jay Norvell talk about this a little bit later on. Right now, Colorado State is a 7.5-point home dog. From a scheduling standpoint, Colorado plays at Nebraska in prime time the week prior. Colorado State plays Northern Colorado at home, an FCS opponent. Colorado, I wouldn't say it's going to be overlooking Colorado State, but you know Colorado State's going to be licking their chops. You think back to last year and everything that went down with Jay Norvell versus Coach Prime. I know you like it. I don't want to steal your thunder, but Colorado State plus 7.5 in the game of the year lines is very intriguing. Oh, by the way, CBS primetime, not CBS Sports Network, CBS Network Television primetime for this game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's spot on, man. Like you mentioned, everything that goes into it. Colorado, I think they're going to be better defensively, but this is still a team that was 114th in opponent EPA per play last season. In terms of opponent dropbacks, they were 105th. Early downs, they were 110th. They're not going to be a very good defensive team. We saw Fowler Nicolosi did very well in that game. That team did pretty well in that game. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, back and forth. I would not be willing to lay a key number on the road with Colorado in this spot, especially after what we saw last year, where this Colorado State team, you talk about focus, they're going to go play Northern Colorado, should take care of business, and you know that that game plan, they are going to be hyper-focused for that game after what happened last year.
And no doubt about it. Nebraska is going to be very physical. They're going to be motivated to beat Colorado after losing that game. Last one for me, the rest of the conference, you'll hear from Timmy Chang. That's a team at 4.5 wins that I'm intrigued to look at their over a little bit. He's very excited about this year's team. Oh, by the way, they play two FCS teams, and they get Boise State and UNLV at home. They also get the two worst teams in the conference in Nevada and New Mexico at home. So if you're Hawaii looking at the 4.5, you just got to win kind of one toss-up game. You're going to be a favorite against Nevada and New Mexico, Delaware State, and Northern Iowa at home. Any teams kind of in the rest, yeah, JVT, that intrigue you either from a fade or back standpoint?
No, I mean, you stole the thunder on it. It's Hawaii, because I think the world of Timmy Chang. I think he's a very good head coach. When you look at bringing 15 starters as a whole back, 8 of them coming back on offense, and of the rest, right, actually of the whole conference, you've got a top 3 quarterback in, yep, Britton Shager, and you've got the best of the rest in terms of what you had at quarterback. Shager's absolutely fantastic. He fits in this system really well. Coming off of a strong year, completed 63% of his passes for 26 touchdowns. They've got a unique home field advantage, which they're going to be able to play there. I think that for a team whose win total is 4.5, I think the world of yeah, Hawaii. I do think that they're going to be a very strong team, and there's something unique about what they're building there. And I'm very much in analytics and numbers and data, but there is something special with the program that Timmy Chang's building. We talked to the Power Slap guys, right? The crazy Hawaiian and the Hawaiian Hitman. You mentioned Timmy Chang. They lit up, man. They that program, I think, is in a pretty good spot in terms of hype, in terms of support, and they've got a pretty decent team around them too. So I think of those teams going over 4.5, I know you're talking about like -150, -145, but I think this is a team that is going to be in position to go over that win total.
That's Jonathan Von Tobel. He's writing up the Mountain West for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which will be out later on in the summer. So this is a special edition. As I mentioned, a whole bunch of folks drop by VSiN Primetime. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, you'll hear from BJ Raines, who covers Boise State. The expectations are high. Can they surpass those expectations on the Smurf turf? It is a special edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Welcome back in. Thanks to Jonathan Von Tobel for helping us break down the Mountain West on this special edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. So just so you know, we're not playing any favorites. We're going to be running down the 6 coaches and insider from a particular school based off of the preseason poll that was voted on earlier this week for the Mountain West. If you missed it, here it is. Boise State 1, receiving 38 of the 46 first place votes. UNLV 2, Fresno State 3, Air Force 4, Colorado State 5, Wyoming 6, Utah State 7, San Diego State 8, Hawaii 9, San Jose State 10, New Mexico 11, and Nevada 12th. We did not talk to all of the coaches. We talked to 6 out of the 12 head coaches in the conference, and you will hear from all 6 of those coaches on this podcast. You'll hear from the head coach of Boise State, Spencer Danielson, head coach of UNLV, Barry Odom, head coach of Colorado State, Jay Norvell, new head coach of Wyoming, Jay Sauvell, head coach of Hawaii, Timmy Chang, and head coach of San Jose State, Ken Niumatalolo. But first up, we're going to hear from BJ Raines, who has been covering Broncos content, Boise State content, for 12 years. And this is a team that comes in +125 to win the Mountain West at DraftKings, a little shorter at circa at +115. Win total sitting at 9. And we started off our conversation with BJ Raines, who you should follow all of his work over at Bronco Nation News and follow him on Twitter at BJ Raines, just regarding the hype heading into this year and the level of expectations for Boise State. Has he ever seen it as high as it is heading into 2024.
It's an all-time high, at least probably in the 12 years I've covered the team. I mean, that's the biggest one, is that fans, players, media, whatever, like now legitimately see a path to make the playoff, win your conference, and you know you're going to be in a pretty good spot. And so I think that energizes everybody, the whole city. You know, maybe it was what Spencer Danielson did at the end of the year, winning those three games to get him in the championship, win that. I know they lost in the bowl game, but I think he finished strong, got the job. They're excited about that. Then they keep Ashton Jeanty, which was a surprise to some. Then they get Malachi Nelson to come in, five-star transfer from USC, and everything just kept kind of building. And I think expectations are super high for this team. A lot of returning starters on both sides of the ball, and I think that if this team's going 8-4, it's going to be a massive disappointment. I mean, 9 wins is the total at Circa. I mean, if this team goes 8-4, I see that being just a disastrous season. I think there's no way they win less than 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, you hit it for me on the head, which is it's all of that, but it's the returning production I think that gives you all this hype. Defensively, I think all 11 guys come back, right, in terms of starters. So how good is this team going to be defensively, and what were some of their weaknesses last year that you maybe think to be improved coming into this year?
Yeah, I think it's like 8 of the top 10 tacklers. Okay. They did lose a linebacker and a defensive end that wasn't a huge contributor, but they got their whole secondary back, their corners, the D-line for the most part's back. You know, they got the co-defensive player of the year in the preseason, Ahmed Hassanin, a defensive end. They brought in, the one position that lacked depth was corner. And they went and got Irby, a corner transfer from Cal, and they got Banks from Washington. So two Pac-12 corners that had experience and production and starts in the Pac-12 come over to shore up the one maybe weakness they had on defense. And Spencer Danielson being a defensive guy as well, they've been pretty strong defensively, over time. So I think that the defense. Everyone is talking about the offense, and there's a lot of reasons to be excited about offense, but I think Boise State over the years has really been known for having a pretty solid defense, sometimes quietly, and I think that'll be the case again this year.
BJ Raines joining us here in studio, has covered the Boise State Broncos for 12 years, as he alluded to, at BJ Raines on Twitter. I was just pulling up the odds for them to win the Mountain West, plus 130 right now.
Which I don't like that bet. I mean,
it's too short.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not getting much value there. I mean, it's minus one.
You're like, this should be minus 220.
I don't think you get a lot of value for that. I mean, how's UNLV 2000 though? Is that right? They plus 2000?
No, they should be about 5-6-1.
Oh, maybe I looked at it. Maybe, I think it was a typo or something on one of the sheets I saw. Okay, that looks a little better.
So you mentioned Spencer Danielson. Let's get to that. He's going to jump on the show tomorrow. How much concern do you have about Spencer Danielson? The fact that he took over on an interim basis. He's obviously been there for a long time, but he's never been the guy. And, Mike Sanford, who does work for Bronco Nation News, and he comes on our show, he said, look, I've been an interim head coach, and I've been a full-time head coach, and it is a world of difference when you're the full-time head coach. So do you have concerns about Spencer Danielson, knowing that you mentioned it? This is the most expectations they've had in over a decade. Is there concerns about Spencer Danielson?
I don't have many. I mean, the players absolutely love him. He's made more appearances and things since the season ended, speaking at golf tournaments and events, and he's been all out in the community, and the boosters love him. I mean, when you guys have him on here tomorrow, I mean, the 10 minutes is going to blow by. I mean, he's just a great, high energy, good guy to talk to. And so every player I've talked to, I mean, they absolutely loved him. They put a video out on social media when the athletic director told the team that he had gotten the job. And it was, just the looks on their faces, the excitement, the standing ovation. It was just like obvious that they really care about this guy. And so, yeah, in terms of the game management type stuff and some of the calling timeouts and all that kind of stuff, going for it on fourth down, sure, there's going to be some adjustments there. But like I said, it was an unbelievably quick turnaround once he took over. You could just tell that the players absolutely loved playing for him, and nothing's changed now that he's the head coach. From what I've heard, the players love him. And like I said, he's, there was some skepticism when he got hired. Some people wanted him to go Jeff Choate, the new Nevada coach.
Yeah.
Jeff Choate was one of the finalists twice. They hired before Andy Avalos got hired, and this time around. And there was some skepticism. I think some people, maybe weren't huge into the staying in house with a Boise State guy and the lack of experience as you're talking about. But I think anyone that had issues with it, most of those people have shut up by now, because I know that nothing's changed in terms of the games, but he's really won people over in the offseason.
So Boise State the favorite, plus 130, Fresno State 3-1, UNLV 6-1, and then you get into the double digits.
If Boise State does not win the Mountain West, who is the team that does?
Yeah, I think there was 8 people of the 46 in the voting today that voted for someone other than Boise State. There was 4 for UNLV, 4 for Fresno. I like UNLV and Fresno, but I just feel like Fresno, as long as Jeff Tedford's health's okay and he makes it through the season, like I think you just it's hard to bet against that guy. And they've had Boise's number in the championship game. They've won in Boise in the title game twice. And so that would be a scary game. And I really like the returning talent that Fresno brings back, you know, quarterback. I like the running back Malik Sherrod. I mean, I think Fresno's got a pretty good team. But I think, you know, I was talking to Ricky White and Woodard, the linebacker up there earlier today, and they're both super excited about their team and the fact that they got a taste of it last year. And then losing in the championship at home to Boise, like, has really stuck with them, as everybody knows, all offseason. And I think they're fired up to get back there, too. So it's obviously the chalk, I guess. But I would say probably Fresno. I think I had them second. And then UNLV is right a close third.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, you look at Boise's schedule. They come here October 25th. There'll definitely be a lot of blue at Allegiant Stadium for Friday night game. But that's a great spot, certainly, for eyeballs. And I love the fact that they have so many Friday games. Boise State hosting Oregon State. I believe that game's on CBS, if I remember.
No, that's
correct.
A 10 a.m. Black Friday Fox game. Yeah.
Fox, yes. And then Oregon, September 7th, which will be a monster game there. Let's get to the quarterbacks. You mentioned Malachi Nelson, BJ Raines, Bronco Nation News here in studio. Who's going to start, in your opinion? So you've got Maddox Madsen still there, and I think Mike said it yesterday on the show, that Dirk Cutter loves Maddox Madsen. Malachi Nelson, he's kind of the shiny new toy, but these are my words, not yours. But when a 5-star after just 1 year leaves USC and now he's going to a Group of Five school, and I know it's one of the best Group of Five schools out there, it raises an eyebrow a little bit for me. So what have been the early returns on Malachi Nelson, and who do you think starts for Boise?
I would first say the improvement that Malachi made in spring ball was very noticeable, even to an untrained eye like me. We got to watch another Spencer Danielson thing. Let us watch practice. It was great all spring. But the first practice, Malachi Nelson was like dropping snaps and just throwing interceptions where there was nobody within 30 yards of the, you know. And by the end of spring, he was just hitting tight windows, throwing dime. I mean, it was the improvement he made in 1 month was noticeable. So if he continues to make that kind of improvement in the summer and goes into fall camp, I think it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. I mean, I really do think right now it's 50.1, 49.9. I mean, he is right there because Dirk Cutter really, really does like Maddox. I just think from a higher ceiling stand, and Maddox may be the safer pick to start the year. Mm-hmm. I do think for sure by the end of the season it'll be Malachi. I just don't know if it's right away in game one. But I think that the higher ceiling, higher potential, and I'll be honest, like fans in Boise, nothing against Maddox Madsen, but if they announce him as a starter, it'll be a little bit of a buzzkill. Like, people are really excited and fired up about Malachi Nelson coming in. They got, you know, two Power 5 receivers that transferred in. Chris Marshall is a 5-star guy from Ole Miss and Texas A&M, and Cam Camper from Indiana. So they got all these transfers coming in. They think it's going to be Malachi, and they'll be a little bummed, I think, if it's Maddox Madsen. But either guy, I think, is going to be fine. And with Dirk Cutter, you know, that's not a bad guy to have running the quarterback position in the offense.
The other skill position, wide receiver, how does that look?
Well, again, looks great. And again, Ashton Gentry, we've gone 8 minutes and haven't even mentioned, you know, a guy that they're bringing down here to media days and have him do his interview outside because he can't get in because he's not 21. But I mean, he's a legitimate, you know, first or second round draft pick, probably. He's that good. And it's amazing that he stayed at Boise State. Could have gone to a lot of places. He stayed at Boise State when he could have got more money elsewhere. He wants to have a legacy and a statue outside someday, and he's going to have that. So Ashton Gentry, it starts with him. They got 4 returning starters on the O-line, so I expect big things from him. But they got, you know, tight end back. They got, I think their top 5 or 6 receivers for the most part are back, or 5 or 6 they feel really, really good about. So I think the skill position they feel really good about, and they got, you know, maybe the best kicker and punter in the nation as well. So,
and we saw him kicking at Stadium Swim today.
Which was my idea, by the way. I'll take credit. I texted Derek Stevens and said, we need to make this happen, and we got it done. So I'll take credit for that. But there, there it is. And there's my tweet right there. It was about a, they called it a 60 yarder. He said it was probably closer to about 58. But I like the people in the pool right there going, yeah, he got it. You know, that was a lot of fun. So he's only 18 field goals away from the NCAA record for career. And I think he's 4 field goals from the Mountain West record. So they had some fun out there. So they're propping him up. They're doing the thing with Ashton Gentry tonight. They're trying to play up, you know, the EA Sports video game. They've been one of the teams that got picked to be kind of one of the main people helping release that. So I think they're playing this as well as they can with the hype.
Good stuff there from BJ Raines, giving us the insight on Boise State. expectations are high, but he anticipates there to be no drop-off and for this team to live up to those expectations. The head man of Boise State is Spencer Danielson. Remember, last year he was thrust into action as the interim head coach, and now he is the full-time head coach. He brings in Dirk Cutter as his offensive coordinator. He's been a part of this program now for almost a decade, and that's how we started our conversation with Spencer Danielson, the new head coach of Boise State. Just how does it feel to be the head man of the Bronco football program?
Oh, it's a dream job for me. I mean, it really truly is, guys. I love our football team. The area has become home for me and my wife. We're both from Southern California. We've been there now 8 years. It has become home. So it's a dream job for me. I mean, it's been awesome being here. First Mountain West Media Days experience, yeah. And I love it. I'm going around it. I'm like, I'm able to talk about our players? I'm in. I can do this all day. But it's an amazing experience. And I'm honored and humbled to be the head coach of Boise State.
So it's not only just, hey, first time coach, but you also have expectations. I mean, you guys have been thrown around as potential playoff team in that group of five spots. So how do those two things combine for you emotionally? Like, how do you feel heading into a season like that?
Well, I mean, it is something. I think 17 straight years I was told that Boise State has been picked to win the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. And we haven't won it every year, but we've been picked to. And so I was talking to our team yesterday before flying out. I'm like, guys, preseason individual awards or preseason pick, it doesn't matter. Like, we got to go work. It's July 11th. I'm going to call our strength coach here in an hour and see how we train this morning, right? That's all that really matters is, are you stacking days together that turn to week, turns to months, and then you'll be ready for game one, which for us is Georgia Southern. So I'm a big believer in process and focusing on what you can control. The other stuff's going to take care of itself. If we can handle every day the right way, I know we'll be where we need to be.
We're talking to Spencer Danielson, head coach of Boise State, as we showed just a little while ago, picked once again to win the Mountain West for a 14th straight year in that conference. And as you alluded to, 17 consecutive years when they were not a part of the Mountain West. Let me ask you about your offensive coordinator. As a first-time head coach, a younger guy, to bring in someone like Dirk Cutter, who's been, I don't know, what is this, his 15th stop at Boise State? I mean, you talk about a guy who loves Boise State, former head coach, an NFL head coach. To have someone like that on your staff, how helpful is that for you?
It's a monster deal, first off, just for myself, right? A guy that I can bend his ear on all head coaching things from game management to practice organization to staff calendar, but then also in regards to being able to develop our quarterbacks and then be able to continue to push our offense to be the explosive offense I know we can be. It's a huge deal for me. But more importantly, I mean, you talk about a guy that can impact these players, and he connects with them in a major way. Our players love Coach Cutter. And he loves and cares about them, and he's working his tail off to make sure we're on the cutting edge offensively. And he's doing a great job with our offensive staff. We've got a great offensive staff. I've been with all these guys. And having him in that room to continue to push the standard of what we do offensively, I'm very excited for what he has done and what he's going to continue to do.
All right, so it's just us. You know, we don't have a national radio audience or a television audience. Who's starting at quarterback?
Myself. Yeah.
So tell us about
Azusa Pacific. Come on now, let's go. No.
So tell us about the quarterback room, and obviously got a high profile name in there, but just what you expect from your signal callers, whoever ends up starting.
Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be a competition, guys, and I make no bones about it. It's going to be charted, and competition will be through the roof. Malachi Nelson, who we brought in January, has done a great job. And you talk about a guy that is extremely talented. Had to learn a new offense, is continually developing his body, and he has done that. And so now going into the summertime, these summer workouts a couple weeks before we start fall camp, he's excited to compete. And I know he's got one thing in mind, which is being the starting quarterback. Same thing for Maddox Mattson. Maddox got hurt last year against Fresno State, missed the rest of the season, and he didn't really go through spring ball. So now it's him and Malachi going head-to-head through fall camp. And whoever through fall camp gives us the best opportunity to win games will be the starter game one.
So it's always tricky, and you know, I'm just some jabroni who talks into a microphone, but psyche, right? So let's say, doesn't matter, I'm not going to put a name out there. One of them wins the job. Are they going to be looking over their shoulder? How as a head coach, and I'm sure you'll talk to Dirk Cutter about it, but like, how as a head coach do you try to say, hey, Maddox or Malachi, you're our starter. What do they have to do to be comfortable in that role and not look over their shoulder?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the art in coaching, right? Where it's a fine line between empowering the players that play and them knowing that you trust them, but also the guys that are, I mean, at all positions that are maybe the backup or the number two, to know, hey, I want you to hunt every single day to go catch the guy in front of you. Like, it's that fine line as a coach that empower the starter. I want that starter to not be worried about who's behind him. Go be the best player in the conference. Go be the best player on the West Coast. Don't worry about the guy that maybe's the number two. And that guy who's maybe the backup, go catch him. Don't let him blink without you trying to be right there to make sure you're going to take his job from him. So I think it's a fine line, especially a quarterback. Whoever it is, both of them and our entire quarterback room, I want them to know I trust them and I empower them. But whoever becomes a starter is a guy that we know at that point has done what he needed to do to be the starter, and we're going to trust him. Now, if that changes as we go throughout the season due to injuries or stuff comes up, it's a long season, we'll adapt and overcome when it comes to it. But it definitely is a fine line between empowering and trusting that starting quarterback, but also making sure whoever becomes the backup is humble and hungry, and I want them to be attacking to be the starter constantly.
So it's hard to be the best player on the West Coast and in the country when you probably have it already in Ashton Jeanty. So what's your expectations for Jeanty? And really, how big is the season for him? Because I was just talking about this the other day. The video game's coming out. He's getting some pub in terms of that. You're seeing him a lot more. This seems like a really big year in terms of production, but also profile for him.
Yeah, and guys, he deserves every bit of it. I mean, since I've been around this young man, he was an early enrollee freshman at 17 years old. And I'm the defensive coordinator, and he popped two 80-yard runs in, like, the first scrimmage against our starting defense. I'm like, oh, this guy about to be – he's built different now. And that's just who he is. And a guy that has a lot of pub, and he deserves every single bit of it, from the award list at the end of the season to the Heisman talks to offensive player of the year. He deserves all of it because there's no one that beats Ashton Jeanty in the building every day. And he is on an absolute mission to achieve all these things. And he's doing the work. It's easy to tweet about it. It's easy to talk about it. Pat yourself on the back. Ashton Jeanty's putting the work in. And so that's why I can't be more excited for him. He deserves everything that he's gotten at this point. I believe his best football is in front of him.
Is he standing outside of the door? I know he can't come in. Like, is he standing outside?
He better be. He better be. I better get a chest bump when this thing's done. Yeah.
Head coach of Boise State, Spencer Danielson, joining us here in studio. All right, I got to address the elephant in the room, and it's the college football playoffs expanded.
Yep.
And look, for the group of five, it was a cool thing to be involved in the New Year's Six, and Boise State was a part of the first ever, you know, G5 team to New Year's Six. It's a whole new ball game now, an opportunity to play for the national championship, but it's a battle to get there. So the ultimate goal, I'm sure, for your fan base is to be playing that first weekend, that third weekend in December, Coach. How do you try to, all right, yes, that's our goal, but we can't look too far into
Correct.
That.
Well, that's it, because Bronco Nation, Boise State, expectations through the roof.
Sure.
Once again. And I get why. It's deserved. I mean, everything we do is built on the backs of two decades worth of wins and one of the winningest football teams in the West Coast since the turn of 2000. That's the testament long before I was even there. And so now transitioning to the 2024 football season, as a coach, all you want is a shot. There was years there where Boise State went undefeated and couldn't quite crack into the national championship game type situation.
Oh, so close.
So close.
So close.
So close. Now you can.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to go win. We got a tough schedule every single week. I mean, at Georgia Southern, game one, going to be hot.
Oh.
They're going to be well coached on the road across the country. And then going to Oregon. I mean, those are our first two games. We don't play at home till third game of the season against Portland State. So we got to take it one day at a time. And that's why, guys, we got to take it one day at a time. Because I'm a firm believer if we do that, the college football playoff, what our fans want and what is expected at Boise State. Winning championships at Boise State, that's the standard. We talk about, I mean, we brought the championship back to Boise last year. I said, guys, that's the standard. That's why you came here. That's why you came to play at Boise State, is to take that home. Now we got to go do that, win the games we need to go win, and get a shot to go play in the college football playoff.
4 p.m. Eastern, August 31st, Boise State heads on the road to Statesboro, Georgia. And then, a trip to Eugene. That's easy. Coach, really appreciate it. Congratulations on the full-time gig.
Thank you, guys. God bless you guys. Appreciate it.
There
go Broncos.
Spencer Danielson, head coach of Boise State. A lot of energy from Spencer Danielson, no doubt about it. Head coach of Boise State. A lot of expectations. 9 win total out there in Vegas. And odds of plus 115 at circa plus 125 to win the conference, depending on what book you look at. A team that certainly could rival Boise State, played them in the Mountain West Championship a year ago. UNLV. Very surprising year just a year ago, getting to the Mountain West Championship game, getting to a bowl game. They did lose to Kansas in their bowl game and lost to Boise State in the Mountain West Championship. But Barry Odom entering year two, a lot of different feelings heading into this year. Last year, they were picked to be ninth in the Mountain West. This year, number two. So some new expectations heading into year two of the Barry Odom era at UNLV.
Some people in this business will call that rat poison. So
he's not coaching anymore.
Yeah, we're going to use it in a lot of ways. And last year we were ninth preseason poll. My charge to our team at that point is let's go earn what we think we can be. This year we're second. That is exciting for some of the things that we're building in our program. And I'm going to use it motivationally. Okay, this is where they think we're going to finish up. Let's go earn more. Let's make sure that we understand what comes with the responsibility of this, and I'll twist it the way that our team needs. The one thing with our team about that, I think we can handle it through just normal conversation, because we are an older team. There's some guys that have either been here on the roster or transferred in. They've been around the block, so it's not going to be. I can talk to them in an educational way about, here's what it is, and we're going to embrace it, and let's go make them right, and then try to earn some more.
So how do you balance your last year heading into this year? Because it was a successful year by all accounts, but the last three games didn't go the way you wanted them. But that builds motivation, and it was, a successful season. So how's that balance heading into this year and the hunger from some of the guys? Because it sounds like they're pretty focused on balancing out after what happened last year.
Yeah, I think you look – I don't want to take away from some of the things we accomplished. Right. And it was a good foundational start to our program. At the end of the day, we came up short because we didn't win the championship game in that arena, and then we lost the bowl game. So it's been an easy talking point for our team about we have to do what's right to get back to that moment, learn from the lessons we had last year, and then apply them when we get back into the arena. And then motivationally, let's use it to go finish the right way. And ultimately, we want to win a championship here, and that's our goal, and that's the standard. And really, that is becoming the expectation. So, yes, we did some good things, but the truth always comes after the word but, right? But we didn't finish the right way. So we got to learn to finish.
Barry Odom, head coach of UNLV, joining us here in studio. As mentioned, picked second in the preseason poll for the Mountain West, coming off a 9-win season. Coach, you know, this day and age with the portal, it's a new world, and especially at the G5 level, you're fighting to keep some of your best players around. We know some left, but Ricky White, who I'm sure was very highly sought after by many, many programs, he's sticking around. So first off, him believing in your program and sticking around for this year, and then what to expect from him. We talked to Spencer Danielson about Ashton Jeanty and him sticking around and how motivated he is for this year. What do you expect from your all-world wide receiver, Ricky White, this year?
Yeah, we're sure thankful that he decided to come back because he is an impact player. I think he's one of the elite receivers in college football. He had 1,500 yards. I think he's just scratching the surface on what he can become, what he is. Habit-wise, from the time the bowl game was over until today, he has gone to work, and he's tried to do things to elevate his game, from explosion to running routes to the way that the connection with the quarterback, but also the intermediate things that he wanted to work on, not just the vertical go route, but some of the things coming out of his break, sinking his hips, really planning and coming out of those things. He has been a man on a mission on the way he's gone to work, because he's got something to prove. He's got somewhere after this year on the year he puts that he wants to play in the NFL, and we're going to try to help him get there.
You got a new quarterback room too. So walk our audience through the two guys you brought in and how they might be better fits for this go-go offense that Brennan runs, which is pretty unique.
So I think really, and the quarterback position is the most important in all of sport. I believe that and have for a long time. If you've got a quarterback, you got a chance to win a whole bunch of games. And if you don't have one, it doesn't matter how good you are everywhere else, good luck. So we feel like we've got three guys right now that we can win with. Cam Friel ended up being the backup last year for us at the end of the season. He's transformed in all ways, in a positive way, in the last 6 to 8 months. Excited about what he can do. And then we signed two guys transfer-wise, Haj Malik Williams, that's coming in, and he was at Campbell University, had a really good career there. He's played meaningful snaps. He's a dual threat player. And then Matt Sluka from Holy Cross is also coming in. He's got here in June. All three have some similar characteristics, but all three so different that really we can cater the offense about the quarterback run game, about how we're attacking them in some of the triple option elements that we have. And then the vertical passing game, all three can execute at a high level. It'll be exciting to see how it works out during fall camp.
I know you'll have JBT.
So you want to tell us who's starting?
Today it would be me. Okay. No, we don't have one.
You gotta ask. Yeah,
as we asked, we tried to get out of Spencer Danielson too. It did not happen. Barry Odom, head coach of UNLV. I just want to circle back to Matt Sluka, because you look at the numbers, you're like, whoa. He had a game where he rushed for 330 yards a year ago. He was an FCS All-American at Holy Cross, as you alluded to. Very good program. Their head coach goes to James Madison. So, you know, for you guys to get Sluka, I imagine, was a pretty tough battle, right? Because their head coach went to a very successful G5 program in James Madison. So what type of player is Matt Sluka? Once again, I know you're not tipping your hand on who's going to be your starter, but you know, he ran for over 1,200 yards a year ago at Holy Cross.
He's an explosive player, and he did it week in and week out very consistently. The term dual threat years ago when it came about, he would exemplify that. I mean, he's, you know, not only just the quarterback run game, but also elements of extending plays and making things happen on the perimeter. He's very skilled. He's a powerful runner. He's big, strong, athletic, and there's not a throw on the field he can't make. So we're certainly excited about what he can do to our team and for our team. And, you know, he's got really good leadership qualities just on the way that he's built as a competitor.
Well, we're talking a lot of offense, but obviously you're a defensive guy, so let's talk about that. And, you know, last year when watching you guys, it seemed like some chunk plays downfield were kind of the Achilles heel at times. Yep. So what's changed on the back end? How do you guys think you've improved heading into this year?
You look at ways to improve defensively. We did some good things last year, creating takeaways, third down defense, red zone defense. But on the other side of that, we were terrible in giving up explosive plays. And that was, you can't be a good team if you give up explosives. That's just name of the game. So how do you fix those? It's not just the secondary. It's being able to formulate a pass rush. It's being good in man-to-man coverage. It's being able to close the middle of the field. All the different things that go along with that. We address some of those needs. Antonio Doyle, we feel like, is an elite pass rusher. He's a guy that I had committed in high school. He ended up going somewhere else. And, you know, he's going to play defensive end for us. 6'4 and a half, 265 pounds. I think he's got a chance to being a really, really good player. That's going to help a lot up front. I think we've got a core group of guys in the front seven returning that are going to be bigger, stronger, faster, well-built, more suited for what we're trying to do defensively this year. And then on the back end, we needed to get a little bit longer, a little bit bigger physically in size, so we address some of those needs. Jalen Catalan, John O'Baldwin returning, Cam Oliver returning from a really good year, Malik Chavis, Antonio Grimes. We signed a really heavy load of secondary guys. That's another way on the back end that's going to be an interesting battle through fall camp, getting the right guys in the right places to see how they're going to play out.
Barry Odom, head coach of UNLV, joining us here in studio. And we've been showing your schedule up on the show throughout. And, you know, for home games, coach, you guys get an opportunity to bring a P5 or P4 program in Syracuse to town. It's going to be a Friday night game at Allegiant Stadium. You get both Fresno and Boise State to come to your place. Both are going to be nationally televised games, and then a road trip to Kansas, and you open up the year against a new P4 in Houston. So what do you make of your schedule this year? Because it seems like you've got a really, you know, unique opportunities. I'm sure your players, at least the ones that are on the roster last year, are certainly looking forward to playing Kansas, a team that you guys played in the bowl game down in Phoenix last year.
You know, you look at the schedule, and week in and week out, we've got to be ready early to play winning football. Houston and Willie Fritz, I think, is a tremendous coach. You know, it's his first year there. That'll be a great matchup, a Big 12 opponent, like you said, back home for the home opener against Utah Tech, and then back against Kansas, another Big 12 opponent, which obviously we played in the bowl game, as you mentioned. And then we open the conference schedule against Fresno, and I've got so much respect for Jeff Tedford and his program. So week in and week out, we've got to be ready to go play. It's an opportunistic schedule that's set up that's challenging every step of the way, but our guys are going to embrace it. We're excited about the opportunity that goes from game one to game 12.
You know, you got three teams on this schedule that all bring in new head coaches too in conference. Is that a unique challenge? You can't go back to look and see some tape?
It's interesting. We had head coaches meetings yesterday, and sitting around the room, I mean, seven new guys, yeah. That's a lot in any league. So for us in our offseason studies, we always look back, you know, previous year, previous coordinators, where they've gone. This year's been a little more tedious in how we've pieced that together. We'll have a good handle going into the, you know, the conference slate on what guys have done. Do they look similar to what our offseason studies were? How much have they changed? A lot of that depends on personnel, on who they bring in, you know, how active were they in the portal? What does that look like? And really the makeup as the season goes on their how their team schematically changes, or how does it stay the same and align? Every coordinator's got a DNA. I mean, you always do of a player. And in my office, I keep a book on every coordinator that we're playing, that from the offseason study, that hopefully as we get into the year, that those things match up on what you spent your time studying on.
7 p.m. FS1, August 31st versus Houston, down there in Houston against Willie Fritz. You get to welcome in Willie Fritz to a new location there, Coach.
I've known Willie for a long time, back from his days at Central Missouri State, and I was at the University of Missouri, so I've known him a long time. He's a great coach. He'll have his team ready to play, and it'll be a great environment there to open up.
Going to be a fun team to watch. The schedule is challenging, as we talked about with Coach Odom there, but things get rolling for them against a Power Four opponent in Houston, a primetime game on FS1, and I think the Houston Cougars could be in some trouble against UNLV, but we'll see how the quarterback position plays out for the Rebels in 2024. Fowler Nicolosi is the quarterback of Colorado State, Braden Fowler Nicolosi, and there's some big-time talent on that Colorado State roster. It's year three for Jay Norvell as the head coach of the Colorado State Rams. They were 5-6 heading into a regular season finale at Hawaii last year, and they came up short, so missed out on a bowl game. They did get over their win total of 4.5. Now the win total sits at 6, minus 140 to the over for Colorado State. It really feels like it's bowl or bust this year for Jay Norvell and company heading into year number three. And I started off our conversation with Jay Norvell, the head coach of Colorado State, asking him about the expectations for he and his program entering year three there in Fort Collins.
When we took the job there, we had to decide whether we were going to recruit high school players or recruit transfer players. And I've always been from the mindset of development and bringing in high school kids. And so we went and recruited the very best kids we could. And we were very young for 2 years. We played with a freshman quarterback the last 2 years, went through some groin pains, kind of had to take our medicine, was the small kid on the playground. But those kids are all growing up now, and we've been pouring a lot of talent into our program. And I'm really excited about the leadership that we have. We're bigger than we've ever been, and we're faster than we've ever been, and we got experience at all positions.
How'd you pull that off with Torrey? I mean, that's a guy that's got NFL aspirations. How'd you get him back?
You were talking about last year him maybe being poached away, and he's back for another one.
That was the biggest recruiting job did all winter. And, you know, I went and saw his parents, and, you know, Torrey's like family to me, him and his family, and we've had him ever since his freshman year. Very first game, he scored the first touchdown of the game as a freshman. But we're just very close, and, you know, we just talked about his options, and I really did feel like the best thing for him was to come back, and I told him why and showed him why I felt that. He's just a different-looking guy right now. He's put on a bunch of weight. He's put on about 12 pounds. Just strong looking. It's a different game in the NFL. You know, I think the fact that I coached receivers at that level, and I was able to explain some things to him about how difficult it is to play physically at that level, just helped him make his mind up. And he's a great leader. He's very unselfish and one of my funnest guys I've ever coached.
Isaiah Stevens for the basketball team at Colorado State, and then, of course, Torrey Hart. Like, you guys got something going on, but these guys will not leave.
So well, they like Fort Collins.
It's beautiful up there. Yeah, I was just up there the other day. Jay Norvell popping by, the head coach of Colorado State. If you're wondering, Mountain West Media Days is taking place here at Circa. Over our shoulders, I believe, some of the young men from the Air Force Academy are getting interviewed. It's a great setup for you guys. I would be remiss, Coach, if I didn't bring up the fact that The Rocky Mountain Showdown will be in Fort Collins for the first time since 1996.
Yeah.
Timmy Chang's going to be on the program a little bit later.
Yeah.
His Hawaii program's playing on CBS, network television week one. You get it week three. It was a fun buildup, I'll just say that, to last year's game. So September 14th, you guys get to bring in Colorado, Coach Prime, CBS. How much are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it should be great. You know, they were supposed to play the game. You know, the game was played at Mile High for years.
Sure.
And so it was a neutral stadium. And then when we built the brand-new $225 million stadium 5 years ago, the contract was written to be home and home. And so was supposed to play in Fort Collins 2 years ago, but COVID canceled that game. And so we played in Boulder last year. A lot of people watched that game.
Oh, yeah.
And now we get to play at home. And, you know, and we got them, but not only them. We got seven home games. And so, you know, every once in a while as a head coach, you get a year like that. And so we're really excited about our schedule.
Our last minute with you here. What does the inclusion of the Pac-2 teams in the schedule do for you guys? Is there an excitement about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're good football teams. You know, it'll be interesting to play them through this cycle this year. And, you know, and we'll see where that all goes. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty in with the conference realignment. And, you know, they're good football teams. And you know, we're excited about playing them.
Last one from me, Coach, just in a final couple seconds. Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, what are you expecting from your quarterback this year?
You know, we played with freshman quarterbacks, and I said it before, but the best thing about playing a freshman quarterback is that he becomes a sophomore. And, you know, he's a young guy. He's very fearless. He's very talented. And I think he's going to mature a lot. You know, I think the thing we got to remember with him is, you know, we were depleted at running back last year. We had to play with a walk-on running back for majority of the conference season. And so that put a lot of pressure on a freshman like Braden. And I don't think we're going to have to do that this year.
From one Jay to another, Jay Norvell, head coach of Colorado State, to Jay Sauvel, head coach of Wyoming. And he was the defensive coordinator for Wyoming. Craig Bohl, after 10 years, decided he had had enough of his long career from North Dakota State to Wyoming. He announced he was retiring after the bowl game, and Wyoming decided to hire from within with Jay Sauvel. And JVT actually started off this conversation asking Jay Sauvel about the opportunity to replace Craig Bohl, the all-time winningest coach in Wyoming history.
First of all, it's a big honor to have been an assistant for him for 4 years, learn so much about it, and then be the one that's chosen to replace him and go on and become the head coach at Wyoming. You know, and then there's a big responsibility in the fact that we still have unfinished business within our program that we're trying to achieve. And we have not won a Mountain West Conference championship at Wyoming. And so Craig Bohl came to Wyoming to rebuild the program, and he did. He made it successful. He made it to where we were a winning program and those types of things there. You know, my thing now is that when I leave, it's going to be, I think I'm going to be measured on, hey, did you win a championship? And I'm excited about that, because that's what I want that to be. I want that to be the evaluator of my time in during that.
Jay Sauvel, head coach of Wyoming, joining us here in studio on VSiN Primetime. All right, let's get to the quarterback. We were joking off air about your quarterback. He is a big fella, 6'5", 245 pounds, and you might see Wyoming 17 and say, hey, that looks familiar. Big guy running around. Evan Svoboda is your quarterback, taking over for Andrew Peasley, who had a very good career up there in Laramie. Before we get to who Evan Svoboda is, man, you talk about pressure you're under taking over for Craig Bohl. Wearing 17 in that brown uniform there, looking like he does, that's some extra pressure on your quarterback.
Yeah, I think I would have chosen 14 or 12 or something like that. But, you know, I mean, that's the number that he had chosen to wear, along with the fact that if he performs to the expectation and level that we all think that he can, that there's also going to be an outside component that gets brought into it about wearing that number and looking the way that he looks. And so, but he's ready for it. And our team is ready for Evan Svoboda, and we can't wait.
So what's an offense under Evan Svoboda going to look like in 2024?
You know, he's uniquely talented, and I think that, I mean, he's 6'5", he's 245 pounds, he runs very well, and he's got an arm that can throw the ball all over the field. So, obviously, you're going to utilize all of these talents. You know, there will be an element of quarterback run game in our offense. Okay, that's a piece, but I don't want our quarterback getting hit 15 times a game. But what happens is he's got the deep ball arm that I think can unlock a couple of our players. Will Pellisier in particular is a receiver that's got great top-end speed. Alex Brown is another one, got great top-end speed. That Evan Sabota can unlock some of those guys by, you know, throwing the ball down the field and doing that. So that's one element to it. You know, and just his overall command of everything. And we do have some good weapons offensively that we're excited about. We should be able to advance offensively. We really should. And the fact that we have to become balanced as a football team offensively. And Evan provides that, not only in him being able to run the ball, but how he throws it, the accuracy he can throw with, and the arm talent that he has.
Once again, Jay Sawveld, the head coach of Wyoming, joining us here in studio. So let's get to your defense. I know it's not your defense anymore, technically. It's actually Aaron Bowl, the son of Craig Bowl. He will be the new defensive coordinator for the Pokes this upcoming year. Last year, you guys were a very strong defense. You bring back, according to Bill Conley, 36% of your production. So a lot of pieces coming back. Wyatt Eckler, that last name might sound familiar. Austin Eckler's brother is one of your safeties, plus 11 in turnover margin last year. So what should we expect from this Cowboy defense, and what type of defensive coordinator is Aaron Bowl going to be?
Yeah, no, first of all, to answer the question about Aaron, Aaron's been an outstanding linebacker coach from the time that I got to Wyoming in that. And so he's more than prepared for it. This will be his first time doing it, but I'm also going to be around it. So, you know, and I'll be there to help in any way I can with that. But he's ready. He's ready for this, and he's got a good command of it. I think, you know, will we change on some things? Maybe be able, because of the experience we have, be able to enhance and build on some of the things that we were doing a year ago anyway. As far as the defense itself, there's a high expectation in the group, and the fact that you start right up front. You know, Jordan Bertinoli is a all-conference level defensive tackle. We expect great things from him. We have three defensive ends that have played a lot of football with Devon Harris and Sebastian Harsh and Braden Siders that are all back and all healthy, and we're going to expect big, big years from them. Shea Suianoa is a very good linebacker that's back for his final season. And then we have three spoke in the secondary with Rook Brown, Isaac White, Wyatt Eckler, you know, in the middle there at safety nickel positions, that all guys that are back. And so, we expect a high level of performance from the defense, and we should. And I do think, unlike a year ago, we played well, but you sit there and go, okay, who's your A player? You know, I thought we had, you know, a lot of guys that played, you know, B-level football and that type of thing, and collectively we were good. I think Sebastian Harsh and Braden Siders and Bertinoli, these guys can be A players this year, you know, based on where they're at physically. You know, Sebastian Harsh is 20 pounds bigger than what he was a year ago, healthier in the whole deal. Like, I'm excited to see him build on the spring that he had. So, you know, all of a sudden now, if we can play the way we played and add in a couple A player performances throughout that, then we could become really good.
Is it going to be a challenge for you to kind of like step back away from the defense on a day-to-day basis? And how do you think you're going to handle some of the new, you know, the new jobs that you're going to have now that you're the head guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something. It's a striking of a balance, right? Like, you know, there's still certain things defensively that I don't want to give up necessarily or move away from. But my job's to be the head football coach, not the head defensive coach. And so, you know, there's things that I will do with the offense, and there's pieces of that. And it's just getting around the players more than anything, as far as, you know, like making sure that we're working to the right level and everything else. We hired an outstanding offensive coordinator with Jay Johnson.
you know, so mine is just the overall of making sure that everything's working the way it should. I'll spend a little bit more time individually in practice with the defense because I can be an assistant there a little bit. But then as we go, then I flip over to the offense a little bit more.
Jay Sauvel, first-year head coach of Wyoming. Before we let you run, Coach, going up to Laramie is not an easy feat. Just ask all seven of the opponents that came up there last year. Many of you may remember the Texas Tech game. What a crazy game that was. Double overtime victory, national television, yeah. The wild finish against Appalachian State. So you got six home games this year, 7-0 a year ago on your home turf. What is it about Laramie and your home field that gives you that advantage?
Fan base is one. You know, I think we have the best fan base in the Mountain West. Our players love playing in front of our fans. They show up. They're loud. You know the energy that you're going to get on a game day. And it's great. Elevation is a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and when you're at seven, you know, people make a big deal about going to Denver and playing like the Broncos or something. We're 2,000 feet above that. And so it is a deal. And I think from that standpoint, it's something that our players kind of thrive in. And then, you know, I think this is the whole picture. It's the way that the university, the way that the community, the way that our state rallies behind our program. You couple that with a not the easiest place to get in and out of in the world, along with the fact you're playing at 7,000 feet. This would be a difficult task for a lot of people to come into.
Always a tough place to play up there in Laramie, and an opportunity ahead of them. And you heard in the open that JVT is a big believer in this Wyoming team and has taken a flyer on them to win the conference at 15-1. Their win total sits at 6.5. Juice varies at different shops across town. Timmy Chang is the head coach of Hawaii, and I talked about it in the open. An official bet of mine is over 4.5 wins for the Rainbow Warriors this year, -145 to the over at DraftKings. Love talking to Timmy Chang in studio. We've had him on the show before. We've talked to Timmy, you know, about just the different mindset that they have, motivation that they use. And I started off our conversation with the head coach of Hawaii, Timmy Chang, heading into his third year at his alma mater, saying, "I know you like motivation. The fact that zero of your players were on the first team Mountain West preseason squad, will they use that as motivation in 2024?
I'm sure they're looking at it, and you know, they're watching where we're picked, and so you know, you don't really gotta say nothing to those guys. They're in a good place. They've been working hard. We're going to our third year together. They know what to expect, and you know, they got a lot. Like we said, we got a lot of guys returning, and so I'm looking forward to watching them work this year.
So third year, and like you said, a lot of returning production. This is kind of the year we're most expected. You take a big leap, right? So what are your personal expectations?
You know, it's a tough schedule. Yeah. You know, the Mountain West is as good as I've seen, and I've been in Nevada for 5, in Hawaii for 2, and now going on my third year. You know, top to bottom, especially with the new coaches that are coming in, some veteran coaches, also some good talent. You know, the portal, it is what it is, but it also allows us to recruit guys that that can come in and play right now. And so you're going to see some really good football. And you know, on top of the group of five, you know, the Mountain West is really, really tough. And so I expect us to go out there and compete and win. You know, we're very tough at home. And then when we go on the road, we've got to find a way to scratch and claw and go get some wins.
Timmy Chang, head coach of Hawaii, entering year number 3, of course, played his collegiate days at Hawaii, put up some big numbers. I want to get into those numbers here in just a moment. But over your shoulder right now on that beautiful set here on Media Day for Mountain West is Braden Schrager, your quarterback, back for another year. What are you expecting from him? A solid season last year. If I had to guess, Coach, you would like maybe to cut down on the turnovers a little bit?
Sure. You know, when you throw the run and shoot at quarterbacks and the guys that are just learning it for the first time, there's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get on the same page with your receivers. A lot of it has to do with timing. A lot of it has to do with precision, accuracy, being able to stand in there, being able to, you know, just kind of spread the ball around and take what you get. And so coming into year 2, I'm very excited. He's had, you know, 3 to 4 offensive coordinators in his time, you know, and it's tough, you know, not having the continuity. But, you know, coming in now, learning an offense, being comfortable in the system, he likes what we do. It's a very productive offense. It highlights the quarterback. And when you got a guy that can spread the ball and throw the ball accurately on time, it's tough to defend. And so I expect him to do well.
And throw it deep, right? I mean, he's got an arm, and he's pretty good downfield. How's he so good at throwing those balls downfield?
You know, he's got one of the strongest arms I've been around. And that's saying a lot. I've been around a lot of great quarterbacks, whether I was playing or coaching. And he's on the top of the list of guys that can throw the ball down the field. I mean, he effortlessly from you know, the line of scrimmage to a wide out X or Z receiver running down the field. He throws the ball 60 yards on time on the dot. And so, you know, he has an NFL arm, and now it's just going out there leading his troops, and, you know, going and getting wins.
Timmy Chang, head coach of Hawaii, joining us here in studio, who get their season going August 24th against Delaware State, a week zero game for the Bows, and then the big one, week one, bringing in UCLA to Hawaii, that game on CBS at 7:30 Eastern. According to Bill Conley, you guys bring back the 7th most production in the country, 4th most on defense, 17th most just from production rate on offense. 6 top receivers are back. You're running the run and shoot for a second consecutive year. Correct me if I'm wrong. Year one, you didn't fully do the run and shoot?
No, we haven't. Yeah. This is our second year.
So now with that continuity, your final year at Hawaii, you threw 38 touchdowns, and then your sophomore year, you threw for over 4,400 yards. Can we mark it down that Braden Schrager will eclipse both of those this year?
I want him to, you know, and if he's doing that, there's a good chance that we're gonna win games, and it will be tough to beat. But it really does start with him. But as you know, football is a team game, and so, you know, the productivity coming from his receivers, our offensive line, our running backs, playing good solid defense, attacking the quarterback, tackling guys, getting after guys, and then playing some really solid special teams. I really believe you measure a team based on their special teams and what type of team that they have, and so. Very excited all around to just kind of get all these guys back. You know, for 2 years and building a program, and especially it's my home, yep. It's my alma mater, it's where I'm from. I take pride in it, and you know, there's no better time and place to be where, you know, you're going through the grunt work, you're going through the hard times, and you know, we're excited about year three and where we're at and returning all these guys.
All right, and all the returning production. Let's go to the other side. Walk us through your defense and where do you think you're strongest?
Yeah, you know, I think it starts with the guy in the back behind me, Peter Manuma, at safety. You know, he's a hard-hitting local kid, very talented, fast, physical, smart football player. And then it goes right down from the safeties down to our linebackers. I think we got a really good group of guys, maybe about 4 or 5 guys that can play. And then our corners are really good. I thought our corners were the best in the conference last year. Just kind of getting them back. Getting more reps underneath their belt, guys with Cam Stone, JoJo Forrest, Vidal Edwards. I think they're pretty solid. And so our youth comes from our D-line. So.
Well, not a lot of youth with your coordinator is Dennis Thurman. He's been around. He's a veteran. He's been a D-coordinator on the NFL ranks with the Jets under Rex Ryan 2013 to 2014 and then followed Rex Ryan to the Buffalo Bills. Most recently, he's been working with Coach Prime. He was his D-coordinator at Jackson State and then an analyst just a year ago. So bringing in a veteran presence like Dennis Thurman, what does that do for the defense? What does that do for you as a coach to have a guy who I believe is 68 years old? So he's been around the block a time or two.
Yeah, 100%. Dennis is an experienced veteran, and that's what we wanted to bring around our guys. His defense is attacking. It's something that we're accustomed to in Hawaii, of watching these Polynesians fly around the field and get after guys and hit guys and really play some good football. And so we're going to have an attacking style of defense that's led by him. On the offensive side, too, Dan Morrison, who was my quarterback coach, another veteran in the game who's coached a lot of great quarterbacks, the great Colt Brennan, yep. who's honorary shirt I'm wearing right now. You know, I'm very fortunate to have two guys on the side, on both offense and defense side of the ball, with a lot of experience and bringing a lot of knowledge. And so, you know, it's pretty good right now.
So as you look at overall your schedule, you start out, obviously, Delaware State,
What does that mean to get a game like UCLA, to get a team like the Bruins out there to the islands so early in the season?
Yeah, I think it's a great challenge. Deshaun Foster, similar to me, taking over his alma mater, great player, and he's going to be passionate. They finished the season really strong last year, beating a conference opponent in Boise State in the bowl game, and so they're going to be solid. They've had some changeover in certain parts and some of their production has lost. But, you know, in a program, with a great program like that and a team like that, I expect them to be pretty good. And it'll be on national television, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the conference itself, you know, we saw Wyoming last year beat Texas Tech on CBS early on in the year. You guys get the primetime game on CBS. And then a couple weeks later, Colorado State hosts Colorado on CBS. So for the Mountain West to be in these prime spots on network television, it's pretty big time for the conference.
No, it's big time. It's big time. But there's big time football. Yeah. You know, as you can see, the Mountain West, it's a great conference, you know, with great coaches, great players, and the standard is high. And so we want to make a good showing, and we want to go win those games.
We only got about a minute left, Coach. You mentioned it's really tough to come out to Hawaii. Outside of just the travel to Hawaii, you guys get 7 home games, UCLA, Boise State, and UNLV, the top 2 teams based off of media voting coming to your house. Why is it so hard to play at Hawaii?
I think when teams are going to find out, as the Power Fives and all these guys have to travel cross country, it's just tough. You know, it makes for, the logistics of it, the travel, the time differences, all these different things. And you're playing the most physical sport. And so all those things factor in. But in Hawaii, we love to be physical. And that's why we excel at football. And football's our number one sport, because we love to throw it around. Our Polynesian bodies love to throw it around with the big boys, and so it makes for fun.
Rainbow Warriors get a week 0 opponent, Delaware State, an FCS opponent. 2 FCS opponents on the schedule this year in Delaware State and Northern Iowa. They also get an opportunity to host Nevada and New Mexico, 2 teams that were ranked 11th and 12th respectively in the preseason poll. So if they win those 4 games, we're just asking Coach Chang and the Rainbow Warriors to find one other win across that schedule. And I think they'll get it. I think they will win 6 games this year and hopefully get to 7, because when you play 2 FCS teams, you are ineligible to get to a bowl game with 6 wins. So they would have to get to 7 wins. But I'm sure Hawaii will be gunning for a bowl game, and I think they will get there this year. But regardless, over 4.5 wins for me is a best bet. It's at 5 at Circa, 4.5 at DraftKings, -145. So make sure you get the 4.5, not the 5. We'll wrap up this podcast with a conversation with another Hawaiian and a man that I have the utmost respect for, Coach Kendi Amatalolo, many, many years as the head coach of Navy, sustained success there at the Naval Academy, ran on a little bit of hard times in the end of his tenure. I thought unceremoniously he was let go, but regardless, he is now the head coach of San Jose State after spending a year under Chip Kelly at UCLA. And I think the question that everybody wanted to know for San Jose State entering this year, Brent Brennan, of course, leaving to go to Arizona, and Coach Ken was hired to replace Coach Brennan when he left to go to the Arizona Wildcats. Will we see the triple option out there in the Bay Area?
No. there might be a lot of options as far as other stuff, but it won't be the triple option as far as we ran it at Navy all those years.
Yeah. And why would that? Why would you want to change at this point right now in recruiting?
Well, the reason the service academies run the option is just to have a chance to compete. And so I just knew if I ever had an opportunity, I was at another school or a civilian school, so to speak, I knew I wouldn't run that. And so, yeah, it's just we ran it out of necessity at Navy. It gave us a chance to compete. But I knew that if I had an opportunity, we'd run something else. But it also had to be a system. I think the thing that gave us a chance to at Navy was a Paul Johnson system that I learned many years ago. And that was a core of our stuff. And, you know, what we're doing now is the run and shoot base for Miles Davis, June Jones, obviously Craig Stutzman, you know. So I knew I was going to hire somebody that had a core system. And that's why we're running it.
So you mentioned that you would accidentally write, you know, go Navy at the bottom of it. Is there going to be a moment where you're like, hey, what are we lining up in here? Why? What are we doing? Like, is there going to be an adjustment period for you at some point too?
No, it's actually been awesome. Spring's been awesome. You know, I've enjoyed being in our offensive meetings. I was heavily involved in offense, obviously, all those years at the Naval Academy. And I'm still heavily involved in the offense as far as being, you know, being in those meetings. And, you know, I love our offensive staff. I love our defensive staff. But I'm really excited about what we're going to do on offense, and so it's an exciting time.
Yeah, fourth and one. You're going to be like, go under center, go. Right. Oh, wait, no, sorry, I got to change it up. Ken Niumatalolo, new head coach of San Jose State. So we mentioned Timmy Chang, who was just in studio last hour. He brings back, Hawaii brings back a ton of production. You guys are kind of on the polar opposite, Coach. So how challenging has it been when we see this day in college football when a coach leaves, like Coach Brennan left to go to Arizona? There's a lot of changeover. So how challenging has it been for you and your staff with the continuity and all the new pieces that you're going to have at San Jose this year?
You know, I was reading something about Air Force, how much production they've lost over the years. But Air Force is going to be fine. Troy is used to that. And we were the same way at the Naval Academy. You know, you turn over rosters all the time. It's the day and age of football now. The days of developing a team 3 or 4 years, those days are over. You know what I mean? They're going to be year-to-year deals. Really, it hasn't been that big of an adjustment. You know, the biggest part is trying to fit pieces that will fit into our offensive scheme. Coach Odom's been there, so he knew what he wanted to do defensively. But I thought we had a great spring. The guys working hard this summer. But it hasn't been a, you know, in my mind, it's what I've always done. So it hasn't been that really, really big of a deal.
So we've talked a little bit about the offense. I guess maybe that would be the answer to this question, which is what aspect of your team are you most excited about as you head into this year?
Just with our talent level. Yeah. You know, I feel like we have a lot of new pieces. And so, you know, trying to get that acclimated and synchronized as quickly as possible is going to be the key for us. But I like our pieces. I like our length, you know, on the edge with Nick Nash, the kind of guys we have out there, you know. So I'm excited. Malachi Miller, guys can have Justin Lockhart, some guys that are tall and can run, and getting some slot guys in there that, you know, we're excited about inside. We got a quarterback battle that I'm excited to see how that plays out, you know, with Emmett Walker and X, you know, so that's going to be exciting. But I just love what we're doing. I'm excited about the way our guys have worked. I thought spring went really well, and we're excited to see the season.
By the way, I wanted to look at the schedule real quickly. The Mountain West folks are playing a trick on you, right? Because first Mountain West game, you left the Naval Academy. Don't worry, Coach. Go up to Colorado Springs. You know them well.
Well, last year at UCLA was the first year that I didn't play Air Force. In all my years when I was at Hawaii as a player, yeah, as a coach, we played them every year. I was here at UNLV for 3 years. We played them every year, and obviously every year at the Naval Academy. So I think it was 34 straight years that I had played Air Force. And so got a ton of respect for them. I know Colorado Springs very well, tough place to play. Coach Calhoun's a great coach, and they'll have a great football team, and that I definitely know.
Well, I wanted to rewind really quickly. You mentioned a name that I would be excited for, too. Nick Nash, 6'3", like 200 pounds. What have you seen from him? What do you expect from him? Because I feel like, you know, late round NFL draft pick, like I feel like he's got an NFL type body. He could be a guy that we're going to be seeing for a while.
No, that's a great question. So we heard about him coming as a new staff. Yep. Okay, here are some of the new guys. Some of the guys are staying. I'm grateful that he stayed with the portal. You know, right. He decided to stay. But I think you saw Coach Stutzman's offense and the kind of possibilities that he had. But we saw his physical skill in the spring running, watching him run and do those things. We knew he had that, but he's super smart. He's got great hands. He's a fluid route runner. He's a smart football player. And I think his football IQ has got us most excited, especially Coach Stutzman, because we can move him a lot of different places. And he's adjusted to this offense very well. And for us to have a great season this year, Nick's going to have a great year.
Ken Niumatalolo, head coach of San Jose State from the islands. And my last one, Coach, now that you're living out in the Bay Area, you're going to be leaning into taking some people away from Coach Chang out there in Hawaii?
Well, we're going to try. You know, we're going to try. I just came from Hawaii. You know, that's where I'm from originally. So I just saw Coach Chang out there. And so we were just kind of chuckling. You know, we know there's good football players out there. You know, and so we feel like they're going to fit in to who we are. It's the closest, you know, that I think I'll get to Hawaii without actually being at Hawaii. So, you know, we got Coach Stutzman and his brother, Craig and Billy Ray Stutzman from Hawaii. So we got some Hawaiian influences here, and hopefully they help us in islands.
Always love talking to Coach Ken Niumatalolo. Could be a a tricky year for the San Jose State Spartans. Win total at DraftKings is at 5. Circa sits at 4.5, and they are a very long shot to win the conference this year. I don't know how the season will play out for the Spartans this particular year. They're opening up the year a Thursday night against FCS Sacramento State. But I think long-term San Jose State under Coach Kenny Amatalolo, I think they will find some success, and I'm selfishly going to be pulling for them. I am a big fan of Coach Ken and what he was able to do all those years at the Naval Academy. Thanks to everyone who joined this week. A special thank you to producer of this podcast, Stephen Jung. I sent him a ton of files, and he's had to clip off things, so I really appreciate that. Also, producer Caesar of VSiN Primetime. He's been busting his butt all week with tapings and coaches coming in and out. So I really appreciate all the folks from behind the scenes on these podcasts to get it out to you guys. And hopefully you enjoyed it. I know this is a bit of a unique podcast. We'll be back with our normal podcast next week, hoping to talk to Bud Elliott of CBS Sports and the Cover 3 podcast. And we are hoping to break down the ACC. So check out the feed for that a little bit later on in the week. But with all of these coaches coming by the studio this week, I wanted to get a special edition podcast out to you. Thanks to JVT for jumping on. As mentioned, he's going to be writing up the Mountain West for the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. So I will do a final thank you to all the people that joined the podcast here this week. BJ Rains of Bronco Nation News. Make sure you check out all their content over at BroncoNationNews.com. The head coach of Boise State, Spencer Danielson. Barry Odom, the head coach of UNLV. Jay Norvell, head coach of Colorado State. Jay Sawvell, head coach of Wyoming. Timmy Chang, the head coach of Hawaii. And then Kenny Amatalolo, the head coach of San Jose State. Thanks to them. Thanks to all of their media staff for helping hook us up and facilitate all of these interviews. And like I said, this is kind of a unique podcast. We did it last year. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We will get another one out to you guys next week, taking a look, hopefully, at the ACC. But I'm Tim Murray. Thanks again to everyone that helped put this podcast together. We'll be back next week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.